The words chosen for our meditation this morning are recorded in the fourth chapter of 1 John, beginning with the 16th verse. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. In Jesus Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, dear fellow redeemed, after just a few years of married life filled with constant arguments, a young couple decided that the only way they were going to save their marriage is to go to counseling. Once in the office, the counselor started right out, threw the floor open for discussion and said, "What seems to be the problem anyway?" Immediately, the young husband looked straight at the ground at his feet and didn't say a word. In contrast, his wife started to talk 90 miles an hour, describing every problem they had in their married relationship. After 15 minutes of intensely listening, the counselor walked over to the lady, the wife, gently picked her up by her shoulders, and kissed her passionately. After that, she was speechless. Then he turned to her husband, who was also staring in disbelief, and said, "Your wife needs that at least twice a week." And the guy kind of scratched his head a little bit and said, "Well, I guess I can have her here every Tuesday and Thursday." The guy was mean, by the way. But seriously, love is needed in every human relationship, and especially in Christian marriage. This text speaks about the love that is absolutely essential for the marriage relationship. It categorically says, God is love. But our question today is, what is this thing called love anyway? Our text reminds us that it centers in Jesus Christ. However, our society has a variety of views of love. In 1965, and I wasn't old at that time, the writer, actually she was a singer probably, Jackie DeShannon, came out with the lyrics, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." But what is this love? For some, their attitude of love is really selfishness. I want a relationship with this individual because he or she satisfies my desires, my passions, and my needs. What I want is most important. With that attitude, we're really using the other person. There's others that look at love mainly as emotions and feelings. And so they talk about falling in love, falling out of love. It implies that love is something that just happens to us, over which we have no control at all. There may be times in a relationship when the feelings aren't there. Does that mean that the relationship is ended? Sad to say, we've all been very selfish at times in our relationships with others and have some very confused ideas about love. The text reminds us what love is. It centers in Christ. God is love. We love because he first loved us. Love, then, is not, first of all, feelings or emotion. What does the gospel in a nutshell say? God so loved, what? That he gave. Love is, first of all, a giving of oneself to the other person. God the Father in heaven loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son as the bridegroom for the church, his bride. He left heaven's high throne in order to save his bride in her lost condition by nature. He rescued all of us from the domination of sin by his holy life and his holy death on the cross, accomplishing salvation for all. He washed us clean with his blood. In baptism, he took you and he took me as his own, making us his bride, clothing us with himself, and giving us the wedding ring of faith. In the Lord's Supper, he sacramentally united himself with us through his flesh and blood, so that we participate in the divine nature, so that we will be like him, sharing in divine glory in heaven. This divine, self-giving love of the heavenly bridegroom for his bride, the church, is reflected in the husband and wife relationship and portrayed in Christian marriage vows. Therefore, true love will always shine forth from us as Christians. The text says, we love because he first loved us. Out of thanks for his redeeming love, we will show that love to each other, and especially to our husband or wife or family members. The heavenly bridegroom so loved the church that he gave his own life to save us from hell's destruction. Therefore, portraying that, the Christian husband will love his wife so much that he will do all for her, even give his life for her. That's that mysterious, wonderful relationship. The needs and concerns of one's wife come before personal needs and concerns. That means practically today, an example is that my son Timothy, who's sitting there rather piously this morning, will provide that furniture or the thing that his wife Annette needs before he gets some more German books, which he really doesn't need. Now, on the other hand, as we, God's church, love and honor our Savior in all, so the Christian wife will love, honor, and obey the husband in all who is willing to do all for her, even give his life. That's that wonderful, wonderful relationship, always picturing redemption, an icon of salvation. The Lord then will always remain the center of that Christian household, and his guiding hand will direct our lives as we make use of the means of his coming into our household, the means of grace, word, and sacrament. As husband and wife face the adjustments of married life together, and there's adjustments at every period of life. Don't think if you've made it through the first 20 years, it's smooth sailing. No, there are things that occur in every relationship. It's normal. Oh, we are sinful human beings. He will be there to help. In times of critical decision, he will be our all-knowing counselor. Or rather than growing cold and bitter and silent so that you can't discuss anything as husband and wife, remember who you are. You are two Christians who are to show that love to each other. Discuss your problems as Christians. Reach a God-pleasing solution. And then forgive and forget as Christ has forgiven you. In times of sickness, he's the divine physician. When there's nothing but sorrow, he can bring comfort and hope. When it seems like we can't make it another step of the way, he is always there, caring for us. And when we start to fall, he picks us up in his arms and holds us secure. He will carry each of us all the way to heaven's shore. Now, as husband and wives, or as future husbands and wives, and in all your relationships, to assure yourself of the Lord's continual presence in your life, read and study God's word, where he comes to you today with his comfort, counsel, and aid. Regularly receive the holy sacrament of his body and blood, where he gives you the strength to do all things through him. And go to him daily in prayer, where we have direct communication with the Almighty who can do all. We love because he first loved us. Husband and wife will love each other and walk in his love until we walk in his love forever in the joys of heaven. Amen. Let us arise and pray. O Father, you have consecrated the state of matrimony, that in it is represented the spiritual marriage and unity between Christ and his church. Mercifully look upon those in this estate, that they may love, honor, and cherish each other, and so live together in faithfulness and patience, in wisdom and godliness, that their home may be a haven of blessing and peace through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. We continue with the hymn. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.